Thank you, Carol. That was lovely. We've all been encouraging each other because we're out of our comfort zone. Well, let me just say, I'm out of my comfort zone playing guitar and pulling together some very wonderful friends to help prepare the music today. And one thing I knew, I believed that it was going to be a very small service, but I knew that today was going to be a special day, simply because the Lord is here, and He has something for us today. And our hearts are here to worship Him, and so it seems like a very intimate little group today, and special in that way. And so thank you, Carol, for bringing that lovely piece this morning. Well, it is the end of another year, and it blows me away, but I don't know if it's just me, or does it seem like calendars are just speeding up? I don't know if you all feel that way. I read an illustration. Now, this may not encourage you, okay? I read this illustration using a clock, and of course, I actually even found a PowerPoint with some clocks on it. But this illustration says, now think of this in terms of based on life expectancy, what the experts say the average person lives. He says, if you are 22 years old and you're looking at the face of the clock, if you're 22, it's 8:20 in the morning. Of course, 22-year-olds don't really know what 8:20 in the morning is, right? No. But what that really means is you've got the whole day ahead of you. If you're 22, you've got the whole day ahead. If you're 32 years old, based on life expectancy, it's 11:20 in the morning. Still pretty good, I would say. And you have 2,122 weeks left. I don't know if that sounds good. If you're 42, and I'm only going to go so far, so don't worry, but if, I know, I was thinking of us. If you're 42, it's 3:20 in the afternoon. And if you're 52, this is where, as far as I'm going, it's 6:20. It's 6:20, so it's not evening, but it's kind of evening. And if you're 52, you have 1,092 weeks left. Holy cow. Isn't that a bit shocking? That's as far as I'm going. But you get the point that time goes by very quickly. The older that I become, the older that I am, the more I realize the brevity of life and how precious time is. It goes so quickly. And I realize the older that I get, the older that I grow, the more I want my life to count. And I think we all want to say that when we look back, we want to know that our life has really counted. The bulletin cover this morning, I don't know if you've read your bulletin, but it has Psalm 90:12 on it, which I didn't know until last night. And it's a great life verse, if you will. It's a great verse to have on your refrigerator throughout the year. But it says, it's Moses, actually. And Moses, this is one of the few Psalms that Moses wrote. And the entire chapter really is Moses reflecting on the brevity of life. And he prays this prayer that we should all desire. It's Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Teach us to number our days. What is he saying? In a way, I like to say it like this. Teach us to count the days and make the days count. Let us count the days and make the days count. That's kind of a keeper, isn't it? Let's count the days, make the days count. And that's a good verse to have before us. He's really saying, let me walk in a way that's mindful of what is true, what is important, what is good, what is of you, the heavenward things, as Frank was saying. Let me make the most of this one and only life that you've given me. And so as we're about to close out 2012, what are you going to do with 2013? Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to even think, because Christmas comes so quickly and then boom, we're taking a breath and we're looking at 2013. But what would you want 2013 to hold for you? When you come to December 30th, 2013, when you look back, what will you want to be stamped over that year? It's good to have that put before us. At least I like to think about that. And for some of us, we'd say, you know, 2012, I'm hoping 2013 will be better. I'm hoping for a better year. Maybe some of you would say last year was tough. There were challenges. Maybe there were changes. Maybe some experienced a loss or disappointment. The good news is this. We get a whole new slate to start again. We get to start all over with a brand new year. And so I want to just share very simply today some truths to hold on to. What I would say are certain truths in an uncertain world. Because what we don't know, we don't know. It's a big question mark. What will 2013 hold? It's pretty wide open at this end of it. And so there are some truths that we can say are sure truths in an uncertain world. And here's one right here. It's four words. God is in control. That's the surest truth that we could think of. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says this. Everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O Lord. We adore you as being in control of everything. That's how the Living Bible puts it. The NIV says that you are exalted. We sang that song this morning. You are exalted as head over all. The Bible tells us that God is sovereign. And that's just a really cool theological term that really means that he rules over everything. His rule is absolute. Colossians 1:17 says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we see that he created all things. He upholds all things. He can do all things. He is above all things. He knows all things. He is not a limited God. And that's something to take into the new year for us. He can do everything. There is nothing too difficult for him, the Bible tells us. And he accomplishes all things. Whatever he plans in this world, whatever he plans in this universe, he accomplishes. He does. I love Isaiah 46:4. It says, even to your old age and gray hairs. Frank alluded to gray hairs. I don't know what the problem is. Lady Clairol does just fine. But it says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will what? Sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. Those are great words. He says, I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This is just a great passage to have before us. What better words to consider heading into a new year? In a world filled with uncertainty, there is a captain at the helm of the ship. He is in control of all things. Whenever the economy is on the slide, he is in control. When we struggle with a child or a family member, God is in control. When earthly kings rage out of control, God is in control. When Satan wants to mess with your life, when plans fail, when a loved one lies in a hospital bed, when friends disappoint you, God is in control of your life. Nothing will ever enter your life that if you're willing to trust him, he cannot work out for your good. That's what we read in Romans 8:28. Let me just say that one more time. Nothing will ever enter your life that if you're willing to trust him, he cannot work out for good. He will work all things together for good to those who love him, Romans 8:28 says, to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't know of a more certain word in an uncertain world than those four words, that God is in control. That's really what I hope that you take today. Because of that truth, there are three things that we can be certain of, absolutely certain of this coming year. No matter what happens in the world around us, number one, God will help me with my plans. God will help me with my plans. Many are the plans in a man's heart, Proverbs says. It's good old wise Solomon. He says, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, things will not always go as we plan in 2013. I hate to break anyone's bubble on that. You and I will make plans and they won't necessarily be fulfilled. I mean, I like to plan. I'm a planner. I like to make my list Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm a person who makes my list. I check them off. I love to cross them out. It's just me. I'm wired a little tight. And the thing is, we can be making our plans and working out a good plan and all that's good. But what will sometimes happen is God changes my plan because he's got another plan. He's got something better. I read this about Billy Graham's wife. And her name's Ruth Graham, Ruth Bell Graham, I think. And she said one time that had it not been for God, I would have married the wrong man 3 times. When I think back, you know, when all of us think back over our life, we are thankful that not everything that we wanted and aimed for and rooted for and hoped for. Not everything turned out that way. God sometimes has a better plan, and if we trust him, he will work out his plans in our lives. I think for 21 years, I thought I was going to retire from the Postal Service, but God had a different plan. And here's what I know, that as we lay our plans before God, he will guide us to something better, something maybe different than we had in mind. Proverbs 16:9 in the Living Bible puts it this way. It says this, we should make plans counting on God to direct us. So it's good to have the plan, but it's good to keep our ears open to his leading. And you know, sometimes our plans change simply because we do our planning without praying. And so one of the things that we should be constantly saying to the Lord is this: Lord, what is your will for me? What is the next step that you want me to take? What is it that you are desiring to do here? Because too often we look at God, and I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'll go, here's my plan, Lord, bless it. Here it is. But what God is really wanting us to say is, God, help me to do what you are going to bless. And if we look in the Bible, there are a lot of things that we know God is going to bless. We know that God loves people. God cares about those who are hurting. He's going to bless our efforts to encourage. He's going to bless our efforts to be a better spouse, to be a better friend, to be a better encourager. He's going to bless our efforts to grow in grace and to become more like him. There are some things we just know God is going to bless because they're right in alignment with his will. So we should really be saying, God, what is it that you know, help me to see what you are going to bless and join you there. And secondly, God will handle my problems. God will handle my problems. I hate to say this, but one thing is for certain. We will have problems at some point in 2013. There will be a problem. Maybe it will be as soon as January 1st. A problem will arise. And I mean, we can pretty much guarantee that everything isn't going to go smoothly. And I know you're glad you came to church to hear that today. But here's one thing that we can be confident in. Every single thing that comes to you and I, as believers in Christ, it's filtered through the hands of a loving God. I think of an oil filter on a car. I mean, how many of you change your own oil? Anybody here? It's a messy job. Bob, I kind of thought maybe, well, God bless you, that's not my thing. But oil keeps the car engine running very smoothly. But if the oil gets gunked up, it's the engine will knock or shut down completely. And so one of the very important components for an automobile is an oil filter. And you think about it, the oil filter, the job is to strain out impurities. It strains out what shouldn't get through to that engine so everything is operating well. And in a way, God filters everything that comes through to our life. He filters it with loving hands of a heavenly Father. Sometimes we think, did God cause this to happen? You know, or did he just allow it to happen? Because there's a difference between what God allows and what God causes, isn't there? I mean, whether God causes something to happen, such as crucifying his son, you know, for our sins, or whether God allows something to happen, such as the Apostle Paul being put in prison, for example, here's what we need to remember, that God can take a crucifixion and turn it into a resurrection. And God can take a jailhouse and turn it into a publishing house where half the New Testament was written. So what Joseph said, what you may have intended for evil, you know, to his brothers, God is going to bring about something good. God's already at work to bring about good in that situation. So everything that comes into our life in 2013 can fulfill a greater purpose. And I hope that we can hear that this morning. Every single one of your problems, every single one of your trials. 1 Peter 1:6-7 in the Phillips translation says it like this: even though you were temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials and temptations, this is no accident, Peter says. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. Quite a statement. Sometimes we just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, why things come into our lives, why challenges come into our lives. But what we see is that God handles our problems in such a way that in the long run, that they will help us to become what he wants us to be. So the problem, the problem is not, are we going to have some problems? The issue is, how are we going to respond when we do? How will we respond? I don't know if this is your case, but for me, the battle is in my mind. It's in my thinking. If I can keep before me the fact that God is in control, if I can keep before me that there's a purpose, that he's working with everything, I can rest more easily. I don't know if you feel that way. I can rest a little more easily. I can stress a little less knowing that God is in control and he will make something beautiful out of it. And he'll work all things together for good to those who love him. And he will help you with your plans. And he will help you handle your problems. And there's a third thing that's really good news. It's this. God will hear our prayers. God will hear our prayers. This is one of the things that I want for 2013. I want to be more full of prayer. More praying before stressing. More praying before planning. More praying about everything. Psalm 65:2 says this, O you who hear prayer. That's how the psalmist identified God. O you who hears prayer. To you all men will come. God will hear my prayers. And then Jeremiah 33:3 says this, if we can have that on the projection screen. It says, call to me, and I will answer you, there it is, and tell you great and unsearchable things you know not. Call to me. That's God's invitation to us. You know, the Bible is filled with promises that as we call upon God, he will hear us. And whatever else that means, it has to mean this. It makes a difference when we pray. Prayer is powerful. And I know that for all of us, prayer can at times be a struggle. You know, it was for the disciples too. But one thing I've learned, it's very simple, is this. I can do one of two things. I can work, and I can use all my energy just working, and I'll get what that accomplishes, which is something, and it's good and it's useful. Or I can pray first and get what that accomplishes and tap into the power of omnipotence. Ideally, the both together work best. But when I work, I work. When I pray, God works. And his way is so much more powerful. What a relief, really, when we think about bringing everything in our lives and lay it down before God. Just bring it to that, the power of omnipotence, and find his power being unleashed in our situation. I don't know how much more we would pray if we really believed that it makes a difference when we pray. James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a person whose heart is right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. It's powerful. It's something powerful. It's a powerful force. So let me ask you, because that's my job. Do you have a daily prayer time? Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a prayer closet? Do you have a place in your car, in your home, somewhere where you can be just alone with God? Because it takes that. It takes not just waiting for time, it takes making time. And it takes time alone with God. Do you have the uninterrupted time? Because this is a sure thing. God will hear my prayers. And so my goal for 2013 is three words: pray about everything. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, bring your requests. One at a time, bring your request to God. And it says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill your heart and mind in Christ. So how much different would 2013 look if we prayed about everything? I mean, does that sound difficult? Maybe. Because we know ourselves, we get so busy and we get so into accomplishing what we should accomplish. But I'm going to try to see how that looks, to pray about everything and see what God will do, and just get that inscribed in my heart. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you between now and next week to think about a life verse that you want to grab hold of and put before you. I want to encourage you all to get into the Word. get before God and say, God, give me a verse. Well, there goes mine. It just fell down in there. But one of the verses, I want to just give you a couple of examples. One year, it was, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. That's a good life verse. I had that at the front of my Bible for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. There are so many verses. Last year it was Joshua 1:9. Last January, I had no idea how much I'd need that verse. But I want you to think about a life verse. That was, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's a great verse. So, because we're going to talk more next Sunday about what we're going to look to God to do in 2013 and what we would like him to do in our lives and in this church in 2013. Because here's the bottom line. As we seek God and we immerse ourselves in God, we can know the peace of God. We can have the confidence of God. We can have the strength of God that he wants us to give us. And it begins as we remember those four words. What are they? God is in control. He has a plan. He will help us with our problems, and we can trust him. And that's what I hope we will take into the new year. And so this morning we're going to close together with praying this verse. So it's from 1 Chronicles 29. And if you'd like to stand, and Bobby, if you would put that on the screen for us, it's two slides. If this is your prayer, it's really a praise to the Lord. Pray it with me. It's this: praise be to you, God, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Let's pray, shall we? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you for all your blessings to us. I want to thank you for this beautiful day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. And Lord, we trust you. We trust that you have a plan for 2013. And Lord, I'm believing that many, that you have so many blessings in store, more than we can imagine, more than we can count. And Lord, I want to pray that you would teach us your ways, guide us in your truth, and lead us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. And Lord, let us count the days and make the days count. I want to thank you for this group here today, this congregation. And I want to pray that as we go out the door and into maybe New Year Eve, maybe thinking, Lord, about your word to us, I want to pray that this would be a time when we would grow closer in our walk with you and truly come to trust you as our Lord in a great and new way. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy New Year, everyone. Have a great day.